Support for this podcast comes from the Central Valley Journalism Collaborative, connecting communities with the resources, infrastructure, and networks to ensure a vibrant local free press.
From KVPR in Fresno, this is Central Valley Daily. It's Tuesday, July 14th. I'm Sarith Hawk. Almost every orange or lemon grown in California that's for sale took years of research, which was funded by the U.S. Farm Bill.
Without doing research on pest management, without optimizing the culture practice, you cannot get these nice-looking fruits.
But that research money has been in limbo as Congress struggles to update that bill, and that could put the state's citrus industry at risk. We speak to KVPR reporter Samantha Rangel about the challenges for local scientists. That story in a moment, but first, these headlines. A bipartisan coalition of members of Congress is asking the federal government to send more F-35C jets to the Lemoore Naval Air Base in Kings County. A letter was sent to the acting Secretary of the Navy late last week. It was led by Valley Republican Congressman Vince Fong of Bakersfield. The Congress members say NAS Lemoore has the capacity to support additional aircraft and is the largest so-called master jet base in the country, with unique access to world-class training ranges. The letter was backed by several Valley cities and counties. Governor Gavin Newsom signed a housing budget bill into law on Monday. The new law limits fees local governments can collect from developers to bring down the cost of construction. It also includes another $900 million in grants cities and counties can use to combat homelessness. Democratic State Senator Jesse Aragin is the Bay Area chair of the Senate Housing Committee.
One of the things I hear often from my constituents is the state spent a lot on homelessness, but I don't see an actual improvement. With this bill, AB 179, and the accountability measures that we're putting in statute for the state's investment in homeless dollars, we will see accountability, we will see results.
The new law also creates a new state agency devoted entirely to housing development and homelessness. The California State University system is reimagining its Basic Needs Initiative, which has helped more than 77,000 students every year since its creation 10 years ago. Yusra Farzan explains.
The program is aimed at addressing food insecurity and providing housing support. But Cal State Vice Chancellor Dulce Perez says around 25,000 CSU students still drop out in their second or third year because of high costs.
What that says to me is holistic support to students, where we are sharing the responsibility of understanding what might be a barrier or hindrance to students.
Cal State says it's waiting on new research to inform how to address current gaps.
That was Yusra Farzan reporting. A candidate for California Insurance Commissioner is in Fresno today as part of a campaign tour stop where he's met with local community leaders. During his time in Fresno, State Senator Ben Allen has met with Democratic officials and leaders of several major area nonprofits. The State Insurance Commissioner is in charge of leading regulation of insurance rates. The current commissioner, Ricardo Lara, who is terming out, has come under fire from some residents who say he hasn't exercised sufficient oversight of major insurance companies, as many state residents have experienced increased home insurance costs. California's Secretary of State has officially certified the results of the June primary. Nearly 10 million Californians voted. 9 out of 10 voters cast their ballot by mail. Turnout was 7% higher than in the 2022 primary election, with 34% of California's eligible voting age population casting ballots.
If you enjoy Central Valley Daily and want even more news, tune into our broadcast. KVPR is Central California's NPR station. Find us on your radio at 89.3 FM in Fresno, 89.1 in Bakersfield, or tell your smart speaker to play KVPR.
And now to our main story. The U.S. Farm Bill goes hand in hand with agriculture, and it's been evolving ever since it first passed in the 1930s. About every 5 years, Congress has traditionally pushed through a new bill to support a variety of programs for farmers, such as conservation and nutrition. Here in California, it funds critical research that affects the fruit grown and consumed across the country. But the last version of the Farm Bill was approved 8 years ago, and the longer it goes without an update, the more out of date the funding is to meet the needs of scientists today. KVPR Samantha Rangel visited one research center to see how their challenges could impact an entire industry.
The Lincove Research and Extension Center is about an hour north of Bakersfield. On a recent Tuesday, it's 96 degrees, and the air is hot and dry. And thousands of orange, lemon, and pomelo trees, just to name a few, fill the center's fields. But this fruit isn't grown to be sold. It's grown to be studied. Ashraf El-Karimi directs the research center.
Our mission is to provide the growers and the Californians with science-based information for their issues.
The issues growers face? Everything from drought to disease. Scientists here test new rootstocks, research pesticides, study irrigation, and most importantly, the center identifies problems before they spread into commercial orchards. Without this work, he says, growers would have fewer tools to succeed.
Without doing research on pest management, without optimizing the culture practice, you cannot get these nice-looking fruits.
And El-Karimi says, before growers start plowing money into new varieties, the center helps them understand the risks and returns.
We are testing how they will grow, how the fruit quality will be, the taste, the sugar, all of these things.
All of this work had been funded, in part, through the U.S. Farm Bill. The bill has funded agriculture in America for nearly a century and has helped set the agenda for the industry at large. Anya Radabaugh is the CEO of Western United Dairies. She also used to write parts of the Farm Bill in a previous job with Congress.
Farm bills are critical tools for the U.S. farming industry. They build certainty. They provide a lot of security and insurance.
But for nearly a decade, Congress has struggled to pass a new bill and has reauthorized the same bill year after year. In that time, the needs of the ag industry have changed, but the funding hasn't kept up. Last year, lawmakers tried to address the problem by pouring billions of dollars into certain ag programs through H.R. 1, and that gave Lincove Research Center some funding. Radabaugh thinks H.R. 1 helped, but
I don't think it's a substitute at all. It's a band-aid at best.
The Farm Bill funds programs for a 5-year period, and Radabaugh says this gives farmers and researchers more certainty and security to pursue new projects and enter new markets. California Senator Adam Schiff serves on the Senate's Committee on Agriculture, Nutrition, and Forestry. He's the first state senator in 30 years to do so. He says the chances of passing the Farm Bill have gotten more difficult because of H.R. 1. Food aid for low-income people, or SNAP, used to be part of the Farm Bill. And including SNAP in the bill was a way to get Democratic votes. But with H.R. 1 taking on most of SNAP, Schiff says
it broke that historic agreement, which is going to make it harder to get to a farm bill.
While the farm bill remains stuck in Washington, the center has gotten money from the ag industry and state. But El-Karimi says demand for research at Lincove Center is constant, especially with climate change creating new challenges. To address this, the center wants to expand its facilities to train more students and farmers. They'd hoped the farm bill would provide resources to help fund that expansion. But the longer it takes for the Farm Bill to pass, the more expensive the project is getting. El-Karimi says 5 years ago, the project was estimated to cost $5 million. Now, that price has tripled.
The more you wait, the more the cost goes up, so hopefully we can get money soon.
El-Karimi says California is the best place in the world to research agriculture. But without adequate support, that may not mean much. With KVPR News, I'm Samantha Rangel.
And Samantha is here with me now to talk more about her reporting. Hey, Sam.
Hey, Cerise.
So you focus specifically on citrus research in your story, but I'm sure this reaches far beyond just fruit. How many other parts of California agriculture are dependent on the Farm Bill?
Many parts.
For example, Anya Radabaugh talked to me about dairy, that's her specialty, and how the Farm Bill did a great job of helping to kind of drive that demand for dairy products through the nutrition programs like SNAP and WIC. And so dairy is California's top commodity out of all of them. And so it depends heavily on the federal pricing rules to kind of allow farmers to keep that steady market and to basically stay stable when there's shocks to the market. And that's just one of many. Dairy and lots of other parts like crop insurance, conservation programs, disaster assistance even need that bill to keep going.
So we know from your reporting that although a new farm bill has not yet passed, funding for select agriculture programs was approved through the H.R. 1 bill that passed last year. And you mentioned that H.R. 1 acts as a sort of Band-Aid. So what was it able to fund in the meantime at the Lynn Cove Center?
So H.R. 1 did provide some relief, and I think it helped to fund some of the center's, you know, ongoing research programs, like finding a way to protect the citrus from harmful insects from Asia using these protective screens that they showed me, or even testing new disease-tolerant rootstocks where they brought in just 69 types from Florida recently. Lots of these projects that are working on spent several years, and without that consistent funding from the Farm Bill, and the H.R. 1 funding, of course, did do that help and gave them that Band-Aid, but it's hard to plan new studies, so all they can really do with certainty or with a little more comfort in doing so is continuing what they already started working on.
I see. So they were able to do some work, but what are some gaps that a Farm Bill could actually fill in long-term for a place like this center or other research facilities?
It could definitely help address that specialty crop challenge or new infrastructure like they talk about, that expansion for their centers for education, and of course just expanding the ag workforce in the coming years through outreach and through expos and stuff that kind of brings other people, other ag programs all together is definitely something that the Farm Bill could help fund.
Some people might be listening and asking, how does a Farm Bill really affect me? And I'm wondering what you found in your reporting. How can passage of the Farm Bill impact everyday people?
Yeah, most people aren't thinking about the Farm Bill, you know, when they go out to buy food from the store. But what I found is that it affects people in ways that they wouldn't typically realize. And so research at the places like Lynn Cove help growers to respond to, you know, those pests, droughts, and even extreme heat, which is the same heat that we're all familiar with here in the Valley. But without that research, the food system really wouldn't work smoothly. Mm-hmm. I think if these problems reach and affect those commercial orchards, the one that give the mandarins and produce those for the stores, our fruit wouldn't look the same. It might not be as sweet or juicy the way we would like it to be. So yeah, maybe we don't hear the words Farm Bill every day, but us everyday people benefit from that work that it supports every time we stop at the store and grab some oranges or stop at the store and grab some apples.
So what are some of the risks and challenges that these research facilities are facing the longer we keep going without passage of a Farm Bill?
You know, one word I think that kept coming up in my reporting was uncertainty. A lot of these research centers plan years into the future, but without that new Farm Bill, they just don't have that long-term funding certainty that they rely on to start new things. Some research can surely continue, but those big investments, those huge projects that they'd love to announce to the public, like expanding facilities, just becomes so much harder to plan. And likely, as Lynn Cove has seen, those delays to the reauthorization or the delays to the new text have brought rising costs, and that's been difficult to deal with.
KVPR reporter Samantha Rangel, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you.
And that's today's show. Today's episode was produced by Samantha Rangel, Queen Akim, Jonathan Linden, and KVPR, with support from the Central Valley Journalism Collaborative. I'm Sarith Hawk. Find the latest local news anytime at kvpr.org.
Each story you hear on Planet Money starts with a question. What happens if we refund tariffs? Why are groceries so expensive? At NPR, we stand for your right to be curious, because the forces shaping our world can be hard to see. Follow NPR's Planet Money wherever you get your podcasts and start seeing how the economy really works.